Welcome to D&D and D, the Dinner Party Role Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Gressel. With me today are fun people, Beth and Mike. Say hi, Beth and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
It's getting there. It's getting better.
Yeah, I thought it was very clear.
I didn't say Dungeon this time, so that was better.
The whole time I was...
The show is getting better, and I was like, good.
Well, sure, there's that, too.
Yeah, what? What a weird way to start the episode. Sorry, Beth, I cut you off.
It's fine. I was just staring at James's Sapporo.
Oh, yes.
Beer. Can I have another?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic
They're in the fridge. Okay. It's been a while since we had beer during the show.
Do you think I can do it? Because back when we started, I would drink and I would stop talking.
Yeah. We all drank at the beginning. I'm re-listening to the early episodes and we all were drinking during them. There's several of those first ones where I'm like, oh, I missed that because I was getting more wine. Yeah, but we did. We had lunch today instead of dinner, so... we ate earlier just before we recorded this and did the hot pot that was promised from the cave journey.
It was so good.
It was
some
great.
Shabu shabu inspired hot pot.
I do want to say that I do think that this is the first time during the prequel that we've eaten and then successfully
and then actually recorded.
Usually we eat and then we're like, yeah, we're not actually feeling it.
Good job, us.
Yeah, I was ready. I was in the mindset.
No, we're gonna get it in today. But we did. The hot pot turned out great.
It did.
So tasty.
The one sad thing about a hot pot is that by the time you are full, it is the most delicious that it will have been.
Yes.
That it ever was.
That is very true.
Because you add the meats and you add the seasonings and you shabu shabu all the different stuff in there and the broth just gets so delicious and reduced by the end of the meal.
Did you have... a little bit at the end there?
I didn't because Mike and I brought our puppy over and he had a little piece of wood in his mouth. And then somebody took the wood out of his mouth and put it into the shabu shabu pot. And that's when I thought, oh, I wanted to taste the broth. But then there was like dog stuff in it.
Wait, what?
Somebody's me.
Yeah.
Wait, when did you...
I thought it was done. I was cleaning up.
Oh.
It was done.
Okay.
It just didn't occur to me.
I had some of that at the end. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I just ate dog slobber. And, like, something was crunchy. Maybe I ate the wood.
No,
nothing was crunchy.
No, it was when I was clearing the table. But,
gotcha.
But yeah.
Yeah. If anybody out there has a puppy, you know, they just eat anything that's on the floor. And so you're constantly fishing stuff out of their mouth. And I guess we were putting it into the hot pot after we were done eating the hot pot. So yes. Anyway, did you you liked it?
It was so good. Yeah.
By the end there, it got
explosive.
Yeah. It was really something. I was really happy with it. I hadn't done anything like this before. We used the fondue pot again. It worked out great. If you have a fondue pot at home and are like, what else am I doing with this thing? It's sitting in the cupboard or the drawer or whatever, doing nothing. Do a hot pot. It was great.
It was great. It was fun.
Yeah.
It smells great up here.
It does.
It does smell good. Mm-hmm. And it was really easy to come together. Like, I was worried about, like, oh, I don't have a lot of time to prep food today. No, it was like a half hour. So, just to, you know, cut some mushrooms. And
like, we should do hot pot maybe once a week. We could do, like, a taco night and a hot pot night.
Mm.
Ooh.
Sounds good. I made cookies at the new place, and the amount of space we have, oh my gosh, it was so great. I made cookies in half the amount of time I did. At our old place.
They're fantastic. They are, I think, your best.
I think so, too.
Other than the ones that you dropped outside our apartment in like, peak baggy. COVID.
Yeah.
When, like, we hadn't seen each other for 6 months, and it was, like, the little bag outside our door.
Oh, because these are different chocolate chips.
Well, those ones also, like, taste like love.
Yeah, those were, like...
It's the situation.
Yeah, it was
yeah, it was very situational. But these were yeah, absolutely delicious.
Oh, that's because, yeah, you guys were...
Yeah,
we hold up, and then you only ate a certain, like, we would only go out a certain amount of times.
We were going
a week
out like once a month.
Yeah, so those were probably the best.
It was, yeah, had. That was those were very very special. But these are spectacular.
These are my favorite. I'm so
I love
happy.
The salt. I think that you definitely hit the salt right on these.
Yeah, I'm gonna continue this, and then I'll keep moving forward. So if anybody wants to try my cookies, you can't. I don't know why I brought that up.
Maybe when you get it right, maybe it'll be a recipe card. People did ask for somebody, a patron asked for your pierogi recipe because we talked about it after Thanksgiving.
Pierogi recipe, we can definitely give those out. I actually just got my family history like in a book. One of my relatives went to Poland and got a bunch of stuff. And I looked at the pierogi recipe And it was super similar to what Beth and I did. The only thing was they boiled it and we didn't boil it. So I was impressed. The cookie recipe, I don't know if I want to give that out. Like,
that's, that's for you.
That's something for me. Like the pierogies is like, you can look that up online.
Sure.
I don't know about this cookie thing. So we'll talk about it.
We don't have to make any commitments.
No.
That's fine.
No commitments,
I've
please.
I've got a couple things that I wouldn't share, too. So.
Yeah, just DM me. I'll give you the cookie.
I swear to God, if you do. I'm supposed to make a business out of this, giving away super secret formula.
it's so cool that you got that family history book.
It's cool, man. We have like a family crest and everything.
Oh, nice.
It's like, yeah, I brought it over. Because I wanted to show Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. Chelsea will love that. Neat. My sister and I were texting the other day. It was my mom's birthday last week. And we were texting about... She was asking me if I had, like, any, like, family recipes from, like my mom's mom, our grandma, or anything. And I was like, no, I don't.
Mm.
I have a couple of my mom's that, like, her Caesar dressing you guys have had.
Mm-hmm.
And the chicken soup, which... is very, very simple, but like that was what my mom would make growing up all the time, and it's like my favorite food. So like that we have, those are hers, but like family recipes we don't really have, and that's something that like I wish we had. Like I'm glad that I have the Caesar dressing recipe and the chicken soup one like now written down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something I don't want to lose.
Easter's coming up.
Yeah.
There's a fun Easter tradition that the Polish people would do about like the Easter basket stuff. They would bring like a bunch of stuff to church and then the priest would bless it all. It's like,
oh, cool.
Butter in the shape of
the lamb.
The lamb.
Oh, yeah. We did the lamb butter. Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's like a bunch of different meats. Mm-hmm. And you just put
Jesus.
It all in this.
It's basically a beautiful charcuterie basket.
Yeah. And then the priest would just bless it with his holy water.
We always had a butter lamb growing up at Easter. A butter lamb and kielbasa. That was the Polish stuff that kept going was the butter lamb and the kielbasa. We always have kielbasa at holidays. And then the butter lamb is like a thing on Easter.
Do we know why?
The Lamb of God,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah?
I think.
I don't know. Guys, I got to admit something
to
you.
Takes away the sins of the earth. Don't you remember that hymn?
The song. Oh, my God. Or that's going to be in my head.
Sorry, I'm so
you
sorry.
You monster.
Yeah. You can have a butter lamb. Just know that Beth's like, what?
Another thing. So there's this weird thing in Christmas where back in the olden days, Polish people said that on Christmas Day, the first person to enter a household has to be a man because it will bring you good luck.
There's all kinds of like threshold traditions with Christmas and stuff.
Yeah, but
if it's a woman, dude, it'll bring sickness.
It'll bring illness.
Sickness to your family.
On Christmas.
Christmas sickness.
It's like, what the heck? Poland, what are you teaching people? That's so awful.
I really want to know what dude that happened to where he just happened to get sick and then he had the amount of power to be like, no, never again.
Mom came in
this
first.
This is because mom came over first.
There's a whole
or like a sister-in-law that he hates or something. Like some bullshit.
Yeah, because somebody gets sick and then brings it to the whole family. The whole family gets sick, and that's what brings illness. It's like, oh my gosh, come on. It's science. Anyways, I digress. Let's do D&D.
Let's do D&D. Rip it.
I've been waiting.
Oh, I went on a tangent.
In the prequel, we've had Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter still. We're going to do...
Wow.
We're going to get to Memorial Day before we get back to season 5.
Jeez.
So, it's, but we're doing it. We're doing it. We're in the meat of the prequel. We're having fun.
And vampires.
Vampires are a big part of it. Yep. Which you said after we finished last time, you said you did not expect this
Never
to be
expected
a
this
story.
To be, not at all. Bottom of my list of things.
Really?
Big frog, more possible. Riding giant horses, very high on the list. Jungle swinging nude stuff. Thought maybe vampires, never.
I did think about, not necessarily in the nude, but jungle swinging was on the table for a while.
Yeah.
Could you imagine jungle swinging in the nude? Just right now?
The bugs sometimes. Would be very upsetting.
Yeah, and like hitting yourself on a twig.
You ever seen branch with you ever watch like, Tarzan?
Yeah, but.
Jungle swinging in the nude.
He's got enough.
Yeah, he doesn't have that much, dude.
It's enough, though. If you're moving at speed. You just catch a twig in the right spot.
So freeing, you know?
Yeah. It would be.
Well, you get splinters on your toes. It's my problem.
Yeah. Mm.
If you're surfing like that, like in the Disney film. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What the? You can't do that in real
life.
Gotta
have hobbit feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, you have to like build up to it for a couple of years before you can start.
It's not a beginner course. Surfing. But yeah, Vampire Story, or vampires are somehow involved. That was the big thing with last we left you off after your week in the caves, on first under the city and then through a mountain into this new place where you are now. The caves were an interesting journey for a couple reasons. First, we had some fun goofing around in the first night after the worm bus, and then things got a little bit more serious. The crab fight was mostly unserious.
Hungry, motivated by hunger.
Motivated by hunger. The crab represented in the hot pot today via the fish cake, which is not real crab, and neither was the crab that you fought, because I made it up.
The justification stands true.
Yep. Yeah.
It's crab. Works.
Tasted good.
I love fish cake.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
I love it so much. I try to add it to anything that I can, like any kind of soup or stuff. It doesn't ever need fish, my chicken noodle soup, but it's better with it.
It's one of those things that I don't think I would have sought out if not for you.
Me?
Yeah, because when I forget if we were out for ramen or something, but there was something where we were out somewhere and you were like, try this, it's really good. I would have avoided it because I would have thought that it would have been too fishy or there would have been a texture thing I don't like.
No, it's sweet.
It is. It's a totally different thing.
Okay, next I'm going to turn you on to rice cakes.
Yes, we were also somewhere else where there were the rice cakes, and those were really good. Where was that?
Anyway, probably Little Tokyo. Probably. But, I'm trying to find ways to put like little medallion rice cakes into near anything because they're just like a lovely chew, and they take on whatever flavor you want. It's just a nice addition.
Tofu is something I want to try to use more of because that takes flavor of whatever you want and stuff. There's I want to try to get away from. I've been doing a lot of meat and potatoes lately. I want to try to get away from that. The crab fight was motivated by hunger. Then there was Navy and Katheria had a somewhat serious conversation about the issues she's having with her wild magic.
Yeah.
Nils and Katheria grew closer.
Yes, we did. Yes, they did.
Through a late night conversation and then a nice moment during battle. After fighting an undead woman of some kind of indeterminate origin.
Absolute creep.
You met a man who identified himself as Castian Valmoriel. He said that he was a hunter sent by the council to deal with the creature in this land. When you exited the caves, you found yourselves in a snow-covered mountainside, hillside, not the bright, somewhat tropical-esque place that you were outside the city on the other side of this cavern system. That is where we will rejoin you. Do you guys have any other questions before we get back into it?
The big mysteries of the season.
Yes. You were brought here originally kind of on Navia's whim. Navia was seeking out some, not necessarily evil, but you guys as students of the Order of Gaelodoi were always told like, oh, the Feywild is this magical place full of incredible wonders, but don't go there.
This is knowledge, not practical
right.
magic.
Navia and Katheria being the rebellious university students that you are, for lack of a better term, decided to go there anyways. You brought Nils and Majumbo through by happenstance and then discovered the mansion of the wizard Plinthrum Belamore, who said, yes, I will send you home. I have that ability if you help me find my missing dinner guests. Through that conversation, it became clear that there was some sort of important thing going on with this summit that he was holding. He didn't give you a ton of information about it, but he was being a little bit cagey. He also at least has some awareness of who Katheria is or who her family is. There were vibes there. Katheria found in his laboratory a ancient scroll that had her family name in it. After you found a crashed cart, you found some evidence that indicated that there were at least two groups involved in that kerfuffle. One, a group of dragonborn chronomancers, time wizards, and another group of pig creatures, pigmen, who are some sort of master hunters. You don't know their relation to the other. The bandits that you found shortly thereafter were mostly interested in the chronomancers after discovering that you had one of their hourglasses on your person. You defeated those bandits and learned that this cult of the White Oak, some sort of cult, was responsible for this, and you went into the city to further investigate. After asking around a shady bar, you were led to an ambush where a cult member tried to dispatch you with a bunch of bugs. Not a fun fight for Navia. You defeated the bug man and then found a hidden passageway that led you to the worm bus station and then the caves. So that brings us to present.
Vampires.
That brings us to vampires, yes. Yes, there is a strange root system that drew life from Katheria. After she interacted with it. After that moment, Katheria started to have strange dreams in this cave system. And Navia's wild magic was getting worse. Majumbo related the sense of draining that Katheria described to legends that he had from his hometown or his family history of vampires and the kind of draining energies that they have in their legends. You encountered some sort of undead woman who had the same kind of life force draining abilities, used them once again on Katheria before she was routed out of the caves and then ultimately decapitated and disintegrated by Castian Valmoriel, your new companion. I won't necessarily say friend yet. We'll see. We don't know. Maybe he's
an asshole.
Sounds
like we're heading in that direction, though. Oh.
I don't know. Well, I do know. You'll find out. You'll find out. He conjured a fire for you guys to sit around at the end of the last episode. And when he did so, his magic resembled that of a flower.
Suspicious.
But.
Not to me.
In a metagame way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cat just thinks pretty.
That's for you, the listeners, to interpret as you will.
And me and Mike to be like, how the fuck is that tie in?
I know.
Keeps rubbing it in, dude.
I know all of it. I know how it ends. Maybe.
How? It's improv. We could really throw it off the rails.
You could really fuck things up. Yeah.
Cat jumps off the cliff.
If someone... I was thinking about this as I was writing yesterday. Like, can't die. In the main story, too, you could really fuck things up, too, if one of you dies. That would be a drag. but it's possible.
Across that fantasy bridge when we get to it.
Yes. Maybe literally. all right. So we'll get back into the story. Do you guys have any other questions?
I was laughing because when I said big mysteries, I was thinking like Kat has black hair and she'll have blonde hair eventually.
Oh, yes. That's true, too. Yes. Navia and Kat will ultimately have some sort of rift.
Right.
And Kat will at some point
get a panther.
Nils will lose an arm. All of these things.
Majumbo will die.
Majumbo will not be part of the events of Night's Pass. At least,
is he dead? Did he die?
We don't know. Gressel knows.
I know.
<All day>.
Damn, I was thinking like maybe we should cut that part out so that it's all still surprise for people. Who are like, oh, she's mentioning her black hair a lot. That's interesting. But then the callback happens. So joke's too good. Gotta keep it in.
And it happens a lot. The amount of times I've hit undo because we've got to do a punchline.
Three. Why do I have full health?
You would have rested.
Okay.
You would have rested at the fire that Castian summoned.
Yeah. I have full health too.
So. You descend the hillside from the mouth of the cave, following with some apprehension the stranger who calls himself Castian Valmorio. Since arriving in the Feywild, very little has made sense, although the other side of the tunnels brings a new definition of otherworldly. A natural path winds its way downward, full of switchbacks and drop-offs, and leads toward a snow-covered landscape at once beautiful and disturbing. A pale blue blanket covers nearly everything in sight. And a constant dusting of shimmering flakes falls slowly from the cerulean sky above. Fuchsia crystal formations jut from the snow cover like ice on the shore of a raging winter sea. Far in the distance, some miles away, a swirling vortex of cobalt clouds stretches from land to sky, violet lightning flashing through the column, drawing your gaze with each flash. Cassian explains, "'Tis all the old lord's doing."
The snow is the old lord's doing?
Yeah, that's what he says. What? You could ask him questions. He describes it as a perversion of nature, punishing this land for his sins. He doesn't say a lot when you guys were at the fire, but that is something that he tells you.
What was the sins of the old guy?
This is very serious sounding.
I was writing this, like, this is a turn, tonally.
We're not going to turn tonally.
This guy can be serious. The old lord, Lord Orlthos.
Orlthos?
Lord Orlthos ruled over these lands. And they were once vibrant and verdant the way that anywhere else in this world is. I know it's something you Blandlanders are not used to, seeing such vibrancy.
Excuse me. Now, I understand that we are Blandlanders, and we come from a place that isn't quite as colorful in these particular ways. However, in a different organization of beauty, one might say that the Blandlands are also stunning.
Yeah, have you ever been there, to the Blandlands?
I have never been so subjected to such monotony, no. But I have heard tales of a pale gray sky and just dirt-covered fields of barrenness and death.
So
that's only out west.
But also, like, Kat, this guy says he's heard tales of it, but he's never been there. We've been to both.
We're
being subjected to his monotonous.
My eyes are tired, yeah, aren't yours?
Oh my gosh, this is so bland and blue.
It is very blue. As you're walking down this hillside, it's weird how suddenly you're in this snow-covered place. And the sky is all clouds. It's constant snowfall. It's not like a blizzard. It's not blowing in every, you know, it's not like it's blowing sideways or anything. But it's a constant, steady snowfall. And these snowflakes shimmer in a blueness that is hyper-natural. It's not ice blue the way that we in our world describe ice blue. It's an actual blue. It's an actual pale blue.
Hmm.
And this center this big column of cloud that swirls around this center point a few miles away, is deep and dark and a very rich blueness. And it's swirling and it has these purple streaks of lightning throughout it. And it's obscuring whatever it is that it's that it's swirling around.
Would that, and so I point towards that point,
mm-hmm.
Would that be Lord Orlthos' castle?
Indeed it would be.
I've seen a castle before.
I've seen a castle before, too. I've been in one.
Oh, almost jinx?
Oh, nobility. That would explain how perhaps you have the means to come here, and these are your servants, I assume.
I wouldn't.
No.
Oh, hey, no.
No.
If we're talking who is more wealthy amongst us, it's definitely me.
It's definitely Majumbo.
Yes.
That's what I've learned.
Yes. No, I come from the trading city of Plasnamzerid. Maybe you've heard of it.
I don't think he's heard of it.
I don't know if
Majumbo.
He has, because he hasn't really traveled
He hasn't really
that far.
Been very many places.
Yeah. Oh, right. So you've been stuck in this one place, your boring, normal world with your purple sky, whatever. Yeah, you haven't seen the marketplaces of the greatest city in any world.
Well, neither have I, though, so...
Well, he doesn't know that.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Yeah, that's why you stay quiet.
I've described them to you. You could have bullshitted. It's fine. Navia, though, is more serious. She's kind of still settling with the fact that she felt so powerless in the last fight that she, like, couldn't cast magic. She's, like, holding her staff more. Like, she's walking around ready to, like, fight something. She's brandishing her staff in, like, a way that's, like, on guard and not, and, like, the rest of you are kind of just casually, you know, hiking. But she's pulling up the rear, staying back a little bit. She's looking around.
I think I'm going to try to pull her into the conversation. Mm-hmm. Navia and I are druids of Galadoy. We are of the Order, so we've been to castles.
Roll insight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 22.
Oh,
19 plus 3.
When you say Galadoy, you notice the smallest change in his expression. There's a very quick flash of recognition or something across his face. That clicked in a way that nothing, like Majumbo talking about Plas Nam's raid in the markets and whatever, nothing. But Galadoy was something for Castian.
Oh, so you're familiar with my order.
Long ago, there were members of your order who passed between worlds. This was long before the war, of course. They're part of the reason why we know what we know of the Blandlands. In the first place, the members of the order who served, of course, your goddesses, such as they are.
Were they the ones who started calling our lands the Bland Lands?
Well, I suppose that was the Council's doing. You know, they think very highly of themselves.
This is the second time you've brought up the Council.
Yeah, who and what are the Council?
Yeah.
What, the Council of what?
Cat's very, very like...
Snow?
The Council of Snow.
Yeah. You heard me.
Cat's paying close attention.
The High Council of Fey Elves who rule over this world, they sit atop the citadel in the city and rule over everything that it sees, which is pretty much everything. It is at their whim that I serve, that I was sent here.
They can see everything? How far? Like, how far can they see? Can they see past the snow and all this?
Well, this storm may make it difficult, but... And he like, comes over and he takes your shoulders in his hands, and he's much taller than you. He's probably... He's an elf, from the looks of it. His ears are pointing out of his long hair.
Like 6'7"?
He's not quite...
You're not that tall.
Not that tall.
I'm not that tall, I know.
Yeah, how tall are you?
Nils is probably, 10? Like, 5'9", 5'9".
It's so funny, though, for Nils to be like, oh, he's taller than me? What is he, like, 6'7"?
That's and he's Mike 5'10"? Not being a short person is what that is. That's Mike not realizing that 6'1 is tall to us normies.
Right, I'm sorry. I've never had to deal with this. I apologize. That is a honest mistake. Yeah.
He's like 6'3", which is tall.
Okay. All right.
Just an inch taller than you, Mike.
Frostbite. Okay. All right. I get it.
The amount that we reference Ross on this show for people who do not know who Ross is. Honorary sixth player character,
Ross.
Friend of the show. Tall German
Ross. So he's like 6'3". So he's taller than you. He's not as broad. But when he takes your shoulders in his hands, you can feel that there's a strength.
Mm-hmm.
You can appreciate the athleticism with which he moves. I feel like there's a way, like he got to you quickly.
It's like very fast. Yeah. I feel a sense of urgency and seriousness. If anybody's going to grab my shoulders, I'm going to think, oh, okay, what?
Yeah, and he turns you, and, you know, there's a little bit of resistance, and then I feel like you would. But he's able to, you know, you understand what's happening, because he leans down to put his head next to yours, so that he's positioning you to look up back east, kind of southeast, and he says, the storm will make it a little bit difficult, but you may be able to see the top of the citadel itself, and the beacons that light the vision of the council. Roll perception.
9.
9's not going to do it. Yeah. You can.
He's not holding my shoulders, but I'm looking.
No, but you can kind of follow their gaze.
15.
15's not going to do it really either. The cloud cover. Katheria, you can kind of see where this storm ends. It extends a little bit into the mountain range that you guys passed under, but it dissipates a little bit after that. But it still makes it difficult, and with the mountains and everything, all you really see is where the mountains kind of meet the sky.
This guy could be lying.
He could be. You can roll insight to see if he's lying.
This guy... 14 plus 3, 17. He's touching Nils. What's he up to?
He doesn't seem... like he's completely bullshitting. Like he's not, it doesn't seem to you that he's fucking with Nils.
Okay.
Like there seems to be at least some truth to, like, you're able to piece together between your perception and your insight. That's the direction at least that the city would be.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you can actually see the top of this tower from this side of the mountain range, you're kind of like, there's no fucking way. But you don't immediately think that he's being untruthful.
He might believe that.
He might believe that, right. Yeah. But whether or not it's actually true, you can't determine. Nils, you cannot see this.
I can't see it, but if I was maybe 6'7", I might be able to.
Well, you know, I know that usually your people are a little bit vertically challenged, so it's all right. You know, we'll get a better look.
Sometimes your people are vertically accelerated.
this is true. I was the shortest of my brothers, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Castian, if we're going to travel together for a period, there needs to be a level of respect between your people and our people.
This is a fair point.
I'd like shake him off me.
I'm sorry for coming across maybe a little bit intense after our fight there with the spawn, but to be honest with you, I didn't come here alone. Would have been foolish to try to take on an enemy of this magnitude without backup, but my party was, well, they didn't make it.
Insight! Nat 1!
Oh,
you have no idea. You're now, you're thinking about other things.
What happened to your party, though? Did the snow get them, or did they get attacked?
A little bit of both, I suppose, would be the truth of it. There's this snow is an unnatural occurrence here. This land should be, like I said, this land should be very, very healthy and alive, but there's a real evil brought upon this place after the old lord joined up with Eurynthanius Agaranthium.
They turned the snow evil?
Conjured the snow in the first place. It's some sort of divine punishment, one might imagine.
This is a name that we've heard before.
Yes, it is.
I know, that's why I said it.
Oh, did you say it to him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can't you tell with my character voice? God damn it. That's, we've heard this voice before.
I would imagine that you would. It's... The war was one of the defining points of our history.
I'm going to keep listening. I was rummaging through my pockets for a moment, but then he said something I did not know about.
It still lives in my memory, although I imagine that you folk might be too young. I remember Agaranthium from before he led his crusade. I was brought to his castle by my brother when I was a boy, and it was one of the finest estates in this world or any other. It extended, you know, it seemed like for miles, and at the center of it there was this massive, massive tree. It was such a sight to behold. It was 1,000 feet high at least, and the canopy was vast enough that it could have held a small village.
Oh.
And the trunk shone with this brilliant light. And its wood was harder than mithril. Around its base, he built his castle. He was the most powerful and respected member of the council, and I suppose that's how he was able to turn them all so easily to his whims, his imagined motivations for what ended up being his war. And the old lord here was one of his most fervent supporters. And I guess it's rumored that... he took a cutting of that tree when Agaranthe fell to the dragons, and he smuggled that cutting away, preventing it from fully being destroyed by the fires of those great, great beasts. And perhaps that was what corrupted him. Perhaps there was some sort of magic in that tree, but perhaps it was something else. But whatever it was, once he returned, these lands were never the same. And forces were, of course, dispatched to bring justice to one of the war's greatest villains, but they never returned. And the peasants that were lucky enough to flee, you know, would describe the horrific things that were happening here. And that's when the council sent me and my party to put an end to this. And well, they weren't up to the task, but I'm very fortunate to have come across you adventurers. If you've made it this far from the Blandland, and if you're members of your order, if you live up to the reputation that precedes you, then you might be just what I need to complete my mission.
Kat's brain is just swimming because this is so much more information about all of these little pieces of the puzzle now. Because now Yanaranthium went from being a like cult figurehead leader. What?
You just said Yanaranthium. You just, it's.
Is that wrong?
Yanaranthanius Agaranthium. You just.
You combined them. That was very funny. Which is fine.
Yanaranthium. It sounds like a element, like a scientific element. Sorry,
what's his name?
Agaranthium is his last name.
Yanaranthanius.
Yanaranthanius. I thought was a figurehead for this cult, and the cult followed him. So I presumed that he was like a cool dude who was alive. But turns out he's this like sort of mythic figure who was around as a leader, a grand leader during the war, which I'm assuming was a war between the Blandland and the Feywild. And he turned the council towards his whims. He lived in a beautiful house with a massive glowing tree, which is evidently, like, putting it together, that's got to be the white oak that we're talking about, the magic big tree. So there's just like a lot more to this story than just underground cult bug guy.
I guess it did get a lot bigger real fast.
So Kat's going to ask him, are you aware of the cult of the white oak?
The white oak was the Agaranthium sigil. It was
the sigil.
He took it as his symbol. The great tree that he built his home around. It was a source of power, I suppose. But I've never heard that there would be a cult following him. That's distressing news. If there would be people who would be still listening to what he espoused. It was,
that's what brings us here. And she resumes rummaging through her pockets and pulls out the White Oak Bulletin, which has the reward for the hourglass written on it. I believe that has an emblem.
Yeah,
stamped.
It had like a symbol on it.
I want to show that to him.
He takes it and he kind of steps away and looks at it, and he paces back and forth a little bit. He sits on some of this fuchsia crystal that's littered around.
I didn't know you could sit on it.
It looked kind of explosive.
I thought so too.
Yeah, I really thought that that was going to be some sort of like it would eat you or turn you into crystal too.
Most things I don't want to touch anymore. Right. I've had my energy sucked so many times.
You look more closely at the pink crystal, and you see that it has frozen something solid, like a bush.
Oh,
Has been encased in this ice, this fuchsia ice. But he sits on it, and he doesn't turn into crystal or anything. And he looks over the bulletin. He sees that the information on that said that they were after the chronomancers and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And he sees
it was like a bounty for any of the hourglasses.
The hourglasses, right? And he sees that, and he says, "Ah, the time wizards, yes. Snobby lot they are. Between their unique abilities and their alleged divine lineage, you'd be pressed to find a more stuck-up sort anywhere outside of the council chambers. Rarely do they venture forth from their temples, so whatever put them in a position to be captured must have been important indeed. One would have thought they'd have seen it coming."
I mean, yeah, that's their time. They probably did it on purpose.
Oh, yes, it could have been their plan to get captured.
Yeah. Why else would they get captured? Just right. Like you said. But this is a serious matter. I don't know why you're joking.
I know you could joke.
You lose your traveling companions, and you need to find the brighter side of things.
You know what? I apologize for being so aggressive. That was a funny joke.
I shouldn't let you know that if you're going to be a member of this party, SAS is acceptable.
Oh, yes.
SAS is acceptable. It's one of the rules, yes. You see, yes.
Yeah, it's number two.
Yeah, we've already let you turn right a few times, but we're going to let that slide.
Yeah, the communication has improved as well. So I think
you're well on your way, yes.
Okay, yes, you're well on your way. You haven't made it yet, but
communication is the first.
The first rule.
We're doing that right now.
In the interest of communication, the old lord and his followers, such as they are, there could be some truth to them perhaps being behind this. If they do still serve his old master, that you see that.
But you said he's killed by dragonfire.
Yes, that was what we were all led to believe, that it was the largest gathering of dragons in history. Many haven't been seen since.
Flesh! Katheria's brain flesh to her dreams! What? Literally, what? Wait, Katheria's like, fuck it, what? So many dragons all together. This feels like a thing I've seen. But I was a man standing on the top of a platform. Was I him? Was I Yanoranthanius? I thought I wasn't. What?
Are you a bad guy?
That's what's in my head. Was I a bad guy? Oh no. So if Nils wanted to roll a fucking insight check on Kat.
To see what's going on?
Oh, because yeah, her eyes are darting out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, I'll do insight.
Roll with advantage.
I don't need to. 21.
That's true. That'll do it. You definitely see that she's in distress. You see that something in the information that was just revealed or something has triggered some sort of reaction in Katheria.
I'll walk over and put my hand on her shoulder and say, hey, your eyes are darting. I know you said you just said a bunch of dragons, and I feel like the last time I heard dragons.
Hush.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Understood.
Even though he maybe tips the cards a little bit too much, it's still very comforting. Like when he touches you again, his touch brings some comfort and kind of calms your nerves a little bit, at least enough for you to start to think a little bit clearer. You're not suddenly overcome. But Castian goes on to say, after you ask about wasn't he killed by dragons, it's like, yes, that could be motivation perhaps for whatever evil is preserving the drive of Orlathos. Oh, Lord Orlathos would perhaps have it out for the chronomancers. They're all dragon folk, you see. Every single one of them. No one else seems to be able to possess that ability or learn those magics to be able to control time that way. It's an incredibly rare and dangerous ability. And only those descended from the dragons themselves can claim to manipulate time itself.
Really? Why? I wonder why that is.
It's their scales.
Hmm.
And he kind of looks at you when you say that. It's like, it's something that, like, that's knowledge he wouldn't have expected you to so confidently say. Like, to just be outright like, that's why. That's what does it. And he kind of gives you a look like, well, maybe what I've heard of the Order is true after all.
She feels good at that.
Navia smiles at you as well. Navia's like, oh yeah, you're giving us a good name.
And so does Nils. Because you gave me information. Oh, there's scales. Okay, thanks. I like her because she's smart.
Hey everybody, Gressel here with a few quick announcements, then we're going to get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 11 of our prequel series. Be sure to follow us on social media at DNDNDpod on Twitter or DNDNDpod on Instagram. I don't really post on the Instagram. I might eventually, but I don't much. But the Twitter is the best place to find new news about the show and announcements and things like that. That is the one thing that I do use. So be sure to follow us on Twitter for sure at DNDNDpod and Instagram just in case. Maybe I'll post some more food stuff there. I did take a picture of the shabu shabu, so maybe I will post that on the Instagram. Follow it to see if I do. Very excited to announce that there will be a sale on our TeePublic store this month, starting today. If you're listening to this to the day that it came out, there will be a massive sale at TeePublic. Stuff will be 40% off. It's their biggest sale yet. So that's going to be from today, Wednesday, the 23rd, if you're listening to this the day it came out, through Saturday. So head over to tpublic.com/dndnd. I think that'll get you there to see what we have available in our merch store while Beth's shop is restocking. Check that out. T-shirts, mugs, notebooks, the whole nine. Over on TeePublic. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/dndndpod. Beth told me today that she's 80% of the way there with the Margarine shirt, so that will be coming soon, and there will be another shirt following that. I know I've been saying that for a while now, but we're close, and I will share that design as soon as it is available. So stay tuned to the Twitter for new news on the Margarine design once that 80% becomes 100%. And check out your art friends, Best Other Show, wherever you're listening to your podcasts. They will be returning with new episodes here at the end of the month as well. That's it for me. Just a couple of ads and then we'll get back to it. Thanks, everybody. Do what's fun.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide. So we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
As you've had this conversation, you've reached the bottom of the hillside. And you've come to the edge of what was at one point a forest. You realize that as you're trudging through the snow, you're seeing the crystals, the pink crystals that are all around, these croppings of ice jutting up from the snow, have inside them the frozen tops of trees, that there's feet and feet and feet of snow pack.
Are these, it's ice, right? The pink or purpley encased crystals?
Yes. Are you asking me DM or are you asking Castian, the character?
You DM. Because I was going to break one off and take it home with me, or like keep it. But if it's ice and it's just going
to
melt.
It seems like ice. It seems like, other than the color, it seems to you that it is ice. You could roll on it to try to get more, out of it.
Yeah, I'd like to roll.
Roll nature, I guess, or investigation.
I'm negative one in both. So, 16.
All right. It appears to you, for all intents and purposes, to be ice. If you, go over to one, whack it with your hammer and, break a piece off,
yes.
It feels in your hand like ice, it behaves like ice. The only thing that makes it different is its color. And it doesn't melt.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is there a vial or something I could put it in?
You would have a vial, for sure. I think between you and Majumbo, you're not as, like Navia and Katheria will have sample
vials.
Taking kits. they have like researching stuff on them.
Yeah.
I think that the stuff that you guys have is more kind of like, this would be cool, yours isn't as scientific, but you have something you could put this in.
Okay.
Yeah. You could keep a shard of this in.
Yes.
It feels cold. It feels very cold. Like if you were to take off your glove and hold it in your bare skin, it doesn't burn you the way that dry ice would.
Okay.
But it is colder than like an ice cube. It's like if you were to really quickly dip your hand into like a liquid nitrogen.
Oof.
Or something that's like very, very frozen.
Okay.
And you can't hold it with your bare skin for very long. But it doesn't immediately hurt you. It doesn't immediately turn you into crystal or anything like that. It doesn't have any kind of immediate negative effect. But you do notice that it is encased this forest. And you are walking essentially near the top of this. Like you've got, there's mounds of ice that are a few feet tall. So you've got, 6 to 10 feet of snowpack that you guys are walking on top of. And it's difficult to trudge through. You notice that Castian is kind of walking almost above it. And Navia is a lighter on her feet as well, being an elf. Kat, you're somewhere in between. You're not trudging the same way the boys are.
Hmm.
Roll a perception roll, Nils. Majumpo's going to as well. See if how you guys...
9.
Yeah, his is a 4. That's not going to do it. So you guys don't notice this. You guys are too focused on, you know, trudging your own way through.
Yeah, we got heavy armor and shield.
Yeah, right. But Kat, you definitely feel like there are some steps where you don't sink.
You know how when we first started talking about these characters and you mentioned that Kat's the type of woman who enjoys to walk on like
balance stuff,
edge. Yeah. I think she's sort of making a game with herself to see how often she can stay above.
Totally.
And then when she steps down into the snow, it's like a failure.
There's like a thud. You're kind of like taking almost a few running steps and then you miss and then you you're moving more irregularly.
Yeah.
Then
I'm trying to understand what it is, what's the variable here?
Mm-hmm.
Why can I sometimes step on the top and sometimes can't?
Ooh, roll.
It's going to be an 8 + 1 = 9.
Okay, you have no idea right now.
All right.
You're unable to determine. You walk for some time through this forest until ultimately you start to go downhill a little bit. The snowpack gets a little bit lighter and the ice gets more prevalent. And you realize that you're approaching a town.
Oh.
Or what once was a town.
I was going to say.
And you're getting closer to the big storm that Castian had explained was the city or was the castle. And you get to this little town, and most of the buildings are covered in this ice. But you see that you're able to get to more ground level. There's still snow, and there's still kind of, the snow is still falling, and there's still a layer of snow. But you're able to kind of go down and get into more of a ground level because there are vines here. The same kind of roots and vines that were in the cave system. Are around this town. And where there are vines, there's heat. And the heat is melting the snow.
That's weird.
And the ice. And the town is broken. It is a ruin from what you can see from the exposed parts of building that aren't completely covered in ice or what you can see through the ice itself. You can see that there was some sort of fight here at one point, or there's the remnants of buildings being burned out.
Can I tell how recently?
Roll investigation.
13 + 1, 14. Does this look like an ancient battle? Does it look like it happened a year ago?
It's been some time. It's not a complete ancient ruin. You're not doing archaeology.
Yeah.
But it's definitely been some time. You can't say for sure.
50 years, 20 years? Is that what some time means?
Perhaps.
2 years?
Years.
Okay. 7 years.
There doesn't appear to be any kind of organic material left. The thatch from the roofs have rotted away. Mm-hmm. You come across wood that, unless it's frozen... you don't see any, that kind of stuff. But what you see is stone that has been broken or charred or otherwise impacted greatly by what looks to be a battle. There are scrapes and scratches across stone. Even the cobblestones in the streets have markings of some sort of fracas of some kind. You see coming out of the ground at different points this root system. And Castian says, be on your guard as we approach this town. We're not far from where I lost my companions. And you'll see soon why it's so fortunate that I came across you. I will need your aid, you see, to get into the castle itself.
Castian, if you and your companions made it this far, what were you doing up in the mountain where we met?
I kind of put my hand on my weapon. It's kind of weird. I didn't think about this.
He turns away from you for a minute, and he looks off into the distance. The wind blowing his hair, his coat billowing. I'm hesitant to admit this, but I was running away.
From?
I look daggers at Nils right now.
From snow?
We only saw one vampire.
We saw one vampire. We were able, you seem to be able to fight it okay on your own.
It didn't bite you guys.
And you guys have magic. We haven't seen him do any magic except for his little fire. Again, a lot of people can conjure fire. Maybe he can't do magic either. And let me tell you, not being able to do magic, not fun. Not fun. Very disconcerting when the thing that was like your whole thing, then you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, that would be awful.
Yeah. You kind of have this moment where you all are kind of realizing that, like, shit's real.
Mm-hmm.
Here, more so than it was when you were... when you were fighting, you know, when you were whipping up the crowd for fish sticks. And Cassian turns back and he says, I thought I wouldn't be able to complete my mission. With my companions gone, but when we came upon each other, I saw a new hope for bringing peace to this land and for, I guess, vengeance in a way. They deserve to be, to not have this be for nothing.
Mm.
There's a secret entrance, you see, into the castle in an old temple in this town. But the mechanics of the doorway are such that I couldn't get through it on my own. Together we might be able to do it. And if you're after this cult, it seems as though perhaps old Orlathos is behind your plot as well. Our interests could be aligned and you know, we might get out of here together.
They do seem to be. I have one more question to ask you, Castian. When we first came upon each other, you asked us if we were here to hunt the creature. Is Lord Orlathos the creature?
That's really the only word that could be used to describe what he's become.
Jills. Ooh. I turn to everybody else. I think this is what we need to do.
I think it's the only way that we'll get back is if we can find these time wizards and bring them back to the wizard Plinthorin. He can get us back, and I think at this point, that's what we all want.
All right. You have my Warhammer.
And my flute!
Let's go!
And Cassian takes up the lead again, and he keeps leading you through this village, winding through these broken, abandoned buildings. You get to a little hill, and on this hill you see a temple. It's a pretty standard temple building, as you would imagine one to be. It looks more familiar, I suppose, to Katheria and Navia than it does to Nils and Majumbo. The temple architecture style in Hosk and plus Namazarid being very unique to the regions. Hosk being more dwarven influenced. And plus Namazarid being very, very human in a way that Knights Pass is not. There's more of an elven and halfling influence in the architecture there. Knights Pass is a little bit more of a melting pot in terms of how they put things together than the other two cities. And of course, Navia is a little bit more familiar with elven architecture. But that said, there is a overall artistry that is kind of beyond what you guys are used to. There's a real grandness to this building, or there was in its heyday, if you can imagine what this ruin looked like when it was whole. The spires that reach up toward the heavens are mostly cracked. There's only one that seems to still reach as high as it once did. The massive wood doors have mostly rotten and fallen off of their hinges, revealing the entryway in. The pews are burnt and almost petrified wood than anything else at this point. There's a lot of the fuchsia ice. And as you enter, you see that the altar itself is a tangle of the infected roots. There's a kind of burst of these vines coming from the altar itself. And you look around, Katheria, roll a religion check. This might be one of the first religion rolls we've had in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked a lot about religion earlier.
It's a nat 20. It's a nat
20. Wow.
You realize that this was a temple devoted to the moon goddess.
Interesting. Whoa.
You see that this was there's
our moon goddess,
your moon goddess. There's a lot of the same imagery that you are familiar with from your time, not only in Galadoy, but in Knight's Pass and in the Knight's Castle. There's a lot of the same iconography that is carved into things, but a lot of it is destroyed or
like defaced.
Defaced.
Oh,
either by physical marks, you know, the gashes or cracks, or by these vines. And Navia rushes up to one of the images of the moon goddess, who's depicted often in your world as a kindly woman. You know, there isn't really a decided upon visage for her. It's kind of region to region. It's not like you could see a picture outside of a temple and be like, oh yeah, that's the moon goddess, because everybody kind of has their own interpretation, as you'll remember from Martrin encountering the moon goddess and not really seeing her face. But nonetheless, you know, there's a lot of lunar imagery in here. There was at one point a ceiling, although it is completely collapsed. You can still see on the edges of where the walls would meet the ceiling. There's still some of it remains. And you can see that there was at one point what's the word for what the Sistine Chapel is? Painting on the ceiling. There's a word for that.
Uh-oh. I don't know it.
Oh, is it just mural?
Or painted ceiling.
Jeez.
I was right.
Mike was right.
Is a fresco.
A fresco is a technique. Well, you grind dry powder pigments in pure water, dry, and set it with plaster. Oh. That's what fresco is.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's a ceiling painting like the Sistine Chapel.
To keep all that in.
I'm nailing this religion
stuff.
Cut that
into the next Art Friends episode. Mike was right. Credit where credit is due. Thanks. It is just a mural. Yeah, there was at one point a mural upon the ceiling that depicted star maps. You can see just from the edges of these that there was at one point stars drawn upon them, painted upon them. Navia is aghast at the defacement of this temple.
I think Kat is too.
Yeah.
And this is also feeling like deeply personal to her.
Sure.
She's feeling very vulnerable, but with that like realization maybe about the dragon thing. And Ianorinthanius, and now we're upon a temple that's like very familiar to her, mm-hmm. and star maps are her thing. So it's like, I think she just feels hot from too much stuff is relevant to her specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does Nils not know anything about the moon goddess or anything?
I think you would know that in other parts of the world, there is a moon goddess who is worshipped heavily.
Okay.
But familiar. The way that religion in World One, mm-hmm. in the known world works was that there were these prime gods and goddesses, and then through time they got distilled down into more regional demigods and stuff. So like the great heifer and everything, and the goat and all these other different more regional kinds of gods. So Hosk, not the most religious place. The Didredon dwarves are are really religious. They used to be. There are parts of them that are really religious, but then they became very scientific. Mm. So your part of the world is more kind of like religion's fine if that's what you're into. Like your magic, even though you're a paladin, that's divine magic according to the mechanics of the game, mm-hmm. isn't divine in our story the way, like, you're not deriving your power from a god or goddess. You're deriving your power from your faith in the crown, which is your family, and you're pulling from a different source. Whereas Kat and Navia are pulling from nature, and nature for them is the leaf and moon. Together, those two goddesses together is what they worship. And Kat leans more moon, and Navia leans more leaf. And symbolism. So the two of them have strong reactions to this. I don't think Nils or Majumbo would. No, Majumbo is very agnostic. He is a student of the world. You know, he kind of just he's more into the story aspect of religion than the faith aspect of it.
Sure.
So you guys don't have a super strong reaction to seeing this temple in such a way. But the girls do. And Navia rushes toward the altar and she calls out and she says, Kat, can you see what they've done? What? This is horrible.
Horrible.
And she rushes over to the altar and all of these vines that have erupted from it, and they're growing, and they've burst through the stone. They've broken through statues. They've destroyed the altar itself. There's no other plant life in here, even though for you guys, you would expect there to be plants everywhere because that's part of the way that you worship.
Mm.
The night plants that respond to moonlight is such a big aspect of the order. And Kat's life from growing up in the Knight's Chamber.
It just feels gutted.
It feels gutted, except for this grotesque perversion of plant life that is these vines. And Navia starts to rush over to them, to the altar, but Cassian calls out and he says, wait, don't touch that. Don't touch the vines. If you come in contact with them, he might be able to find us.
Oh, Orlthas? Is he a tree?
I'm not sure what he is anymore, but there's no doubt that this is some sort of a reach of his. I can't say for sure what his ultimate design is, but these are evil, and it wasn't long after one of my companions came in contact with one of these vines that we were beset upon, and they fell. I just don't touch them.
Heed his call, Navia. So fucking fantasy.
All of us were like, whoa.
Right. Listen to thou words of wisdom.
I think
thou'st words? Thy'est words?
Thine?
But it was his, not mine.
I think thay-est. It would be his. Of course, Kat, I believe, at this will recall the fact that she has had contact with these plants.
Uh-huh.
Navy as well, but not in the same way.
It was a while ago, though.
It was, and further away. So,
but it wouldn't, like, set a tracker on me, would it?
You don't know.
Fuck.
You don't know, but I think that Kat would definitely be aware of the fact that happened to her. I don't think that's something that she's going to not.
I have an idea.
And what is that, my friend?
You said that these vines are connected, potentially, to Orlthas. Is that right, Cassian?
That is my theory, at least. It was one of my companions fell into one of these vines as we were approaching the altar. We'll find the secret passage beyond the altar here. We'll have to be very careful not to come in contact with the vines. But once he did, it was not long after that some servants of the old lord appeared and. Yeah, things haven't been the same since. I just think that's too much of a coincidence not to draw a conclusion.
Sure, I'm cannot get it out of my head that... Have you ever heard of bug juice?
I can't say I'm familiar. Oh, So you must try it.
You have to try it. But here's what I'm thinking. And this is just a thought that I can't get out of my head. What if we don't have to do this, but the thought is here. What if we stab this vine and then pour bug juice in it?
You want to get the plant drunk?
Well, yeah, because then it would... Well, that's where my plan really stops.
You know, I don't remember a lot of our time on the bug juice, but I do remember being very disoriented, and it may prevent any kind of tracking. Right. There is logic here.
There's logic, but I don't know really how sound it is. It's just like kind of like a fun experiment. That
Cat's caressing a defaced monument to the moon goddess.
And the Navy is just like frantically trying to put pieces back together. They keep falling as she does.
What if we get this plant drunk?
You know, I think this could work. You know, it would be a failsafe if one of us were to kind of tumble or something, slip.
Yeah, failsafe. Right.
Yeah.
Like, whoops, I didn't mean to touch this plant, set off a tracker, but maybe let's stab it real quick and pour bug juice in it, and then it'll throw off the tracker. That's my thought. That's a theory.
I like it. I think we should do it.
Thanks. I think we should maybe not do it right now because I don't want to set us on a bed. It should be like last resort. You know what I'm saying? Like a last resort thing.
If we get into like a narrow situation where it's like, oh, if we have to be perfect or we'll hit the vines, then maybe then we do the drunk vine plan.
Yes, I agree with that.
Ladies? It's
becoming sound, yeah. What do you think,
and then, ladies? And they turn back to you guys and you're like just appalled at what's going on. Like you have not been paying attention.
All I know is don't touch root. This is so sad.
And then number three is get root drunk.
Get root drunk. Then root can't find us.
Then root can't find us.
Disorienting.
Yeah.
With the bug juice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do we have to cut it open? Why can't you just put the end of a tendril in the bug juice?
Oh, like it drinks it?
That's how roots work.
Oh.
Guys, I went to the bathroom.
Your plan is so much more simple.
And then Rowan has to touch it.
And then we don't have to touch it.
We can splash.
We can just like set up a little cup and use a twig to move the vine
don't
into
touch
it.
Just a splash.
What's not going to know if a twig touches it?
It's going to know. You'd know if a twig touched you.
Yeah, but like, if a...
I know you really want to touch it with a twig. And that's what this is about.
Poke it a little bit.
I know. Castian told us.
Okay, well, let's do it. Let's do it. How you suggested.
Yeah, put the bug juice on the altar.
Okay. Not all of it, though.
Okay.
What are you saving it for?
For moments like
you
this.
You never know when you're going to... Exactly. Maybe, I mean, if we win...
Yeah.
Maybe we'll want to toast.
Yeah. Or if we get in another bad situation, we might need it again.
Can I read Castian's face about this plan?
Do you want to roll for specifics or you just want a quick check?
Quick check.
He's kind of just sitting back and letting you guys figure it out. He's not really weighing in.
We're his only hope.
Yeah.
No, I want to do a deeper check. Now I'm like, wait a second. Why doesn't it? Touching,
because you've gotten to a point where the plan is now no longer to touch the vines.
Okay, yeah, then it's true. It's cool. No touch, just wet.
Yep.
These cups were. I was kind of saving them for something special, but I guess it's an offering of sorts. So, and he takes Majumbo takes from his possessions. A somewhat ornate goblet. Again, this is another instance, Katheria, where Majumbo takes something out of his bags and it's very fancy.
Damn!
Yeah. Hmm. It's like very finely made, a little bit jeweled. It has like bands of different metals.
Do I have a bad cup? that we can use instead? That feels like quite a waste.
Sure, you probably do have some sort of vessel.
Majumbo, put those away. Not for a vampiric root system.
Well, I guess when you put it that way, it does seem a little ridiculous. These are kind of more special occasion. You know, we complete a quest, we usually toast with these.
Yeah.
You know.
You seem like a whittler. Why don't you have, like, a wood cup?
Well, do I have a wood cup?
You could probably fashion one.
Out of what? The roots?
Or there's, like, the charred remnants of the the pews and stuff.
Yeah, hold on. Give me one second. I start smashing the pews up.
You're able to kind of create a vessel of some kind.
Yeah.
Crudely fashioned. And as he does, as he's breaking this apart and everything, how does Katheria feel about watching Nils be crafty?
He was confident in that he could do this, but I'm sort of waiting for the final result.
Okay. To see if this works.
Yeah, and to see how refined it is.
It's more bowl than cup.
Make him roll.
Okay, sure.
Damn it.
Grussel, we almost got away with it.
What would this roll?
I know, I was thinking, please don't make it nature, please don't
No, no. I think it would be...
Dex? Or performance?
It wouldn't be performance. It would be a dex roll. Sleight of hand? Roll sleight of hand.
Okay. 18.
Okay.
Good bowl.
Yeah. It's a bowl. It is a functional bowl.
Yeah,
it is. It's not the deepest. It's more, it's kind of like a shallow bowl.
I was thinking of a half moon while crafting this. It was my, you know, to appreciate the, because we're in the place of worship for the moon goddess.
I can see it.
I tried to be genuine.
When we put the bug juice in it, it sort of makes the shape of a half moon.
Yeah, it's kind of not totally even, so yeah. That it kind of pools in such a way that it has kind of a crescent shape.
Yeah, that was my like really intricate design for it.
I'm touched.
Okay, and then Majumbo, I think, is going to be the one to gingerly place it. I think he's a little bit more delicate than you, Nils, and yes. He's going to take it up to the altar, and he maneuvers in such a way where he avoids the vines, and he's able to find what remains of the altar. He kind of like blows away some dust. Kat, you get a glimpse now of what the altar was originally made of.
Mm.
And it was black oak.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But it's since cracked and blistered and broken by this plant, this evil plant. And Majumbo, you know, after clearing a little bit space, he puts Nil's bowl with the bug juice on it. He says something, kind of, his lips move, you don't really hear it, but he kind of whispers something as he backs away. Roll perception.
Yeah.
Both of you.
15 plus 6, 21.
11.
11 won't hear it, because he's trying to not be heard. Mm. But 21 will, and he's saying something in Elvish.
Of course I can.
As he does, and the bowl kind of tips magically, and it pours over in a very reverent way. There's it, like rises a little bit, and it pours in the, almost a ritualistic way.
My bowl. I think she liked it.
Who's she?
The moon goddess.
Oh.
Who's she?
I don't think the moon goddess's presence is here any longer.
Well, we just gave her an offering and the bowl just tipped over like that.
Did you watch Majumbo cast a spell on it?
It was the... I did nothing of the sort. It must have been the moon goddess.
He didn't do anything. It must have been the moon goddess.
Oh, you're right. It must have been the moon goddess.
Okay. Sassy is acceptable.
I know.
Wow.
And there's a shudder. As uh-oh. The bug juice makes contact with the plants, and they start to kind of shake and rattle, and they extend.
Whoa!
Whoops!
everyone that was curved suddenly goes straight.
Oh.
And roll dex saving throws.
God. I have inspiration if this goes south.
12.
13.
Navia gets a dirty 20.
Oh, nice.
Majumbo also got a 12. You guys are going to get clipped, Nils and Majumbo, by the straightening vines. Navia and Katheria, you're able to get out of the way.
Ooh, just barely.
Just barely. You're going to take 9 damage.
Okay.
Nils and Majumbo, you get, you're not ready for it. It clips you.
Whoa.
In between the armor. And Castian, I got a roll for him too. He's fine. he says, watch out. Watch out for the vines. Did it get you? Did it latch?
No, I'm not latched, but it definitely touched me. I got hurt.
And right after they extend that way, they start to shrink and retreat.
Oh.
And they kind of wither back. They don't. It's almost now as though it's a living thing. Well, it's a plant, but you know what I mean. A conscious thing, a sentient thing. There's a sound, it's not quite a whimper, not quite a scream, as this huge chunk of this root system that had erupted from this altar retreats, pulling stone and charred ancient wood with it.
Whoa.
And it pulls down into some sort of hidden path beyond, and it reveals a now broken staircase that descends downward. And that is what you see before you. And Cassian says, well, I guess the bug juice
that
must
worked?
Have worked.
Nils has such the biggest smile on his face.
I think both of us looked at Mike and he went from it like just staring at the wall to slowly his mouth started curling upward.
Yes. Yeah, that's courtesy of the bug man that we killed.
This cultist.
No, it was a cultist. Yeah, he was a bad guy, but we had got some bug juice and it's really good.
You stole that bug juice from his bar, have been holding on to it for over a week. I've had to smell that every day in the dark, dungeonous wormhole of that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And now finally you use it and it helps us. I can't believe it.
I know.
Can't believe this.
It's you know, when you are an adventurer such as myself and Majumbo, you tend to pick up things that might be useful later without realizing that it would be this useful later.
And you know, if you just leave them in your pack, you'll never find out.
It's but bug juice, you will be reminded of that every single day.
Yeah.
And after that hangover, I am reminded every day. Yeah.
I look
at
Castian, they drank that.
It's good.
We've all drank things we're not proud of.
No, we have not.
Do you want to try now?
No!
There's a sound from within the hole that the root system leaves. Deeper within wherever the secret passageway, a loud splash. It sounds like something very, very heavy fell into something wet. It's a splash of some kind. And the sound of something scraping through earth continues for some time to echo through the secret passageway behind the altar.
Am I right to assume that something was dislodged?
You get that impression.
It's not like a living thing is walking. It's like something fell.
It's this, yes, it's you draw the conclusion that something. The root system was maybe around something or had dislodged something as it retreated. It did not like the bug juice.
And we still have some left over.
Yeah, we didn't use all of it.
Well, into the cave we go yet again.
Yeah.
You descend into the cave. It is now very difficult to find your way into the secret passage because as the root system retreated, it destroyed part of the staircase. So you all are going to have to make athletics rolls to try to climb across this. This is, you don't have the luxury of time that you did in the cavern system where you could just kind of wait until you were good. You know, you could carefully climb and work together to climb. Now you have to roll athletics. Ooh, not a great roll for Navia.
I did 23.
23 is great. Really 15. Bad roll for Majumbo. 23 is good. 15 is good. Cassian is good.
Can I catch either of them?
Can we catch each other's friends?
Yeah.
Roll another roll. Try to grab them.
Of athletics?
Yes.
Dang it, 9.
I reach for Majumbo and I roll a 1.
Oh, and I go for Navy and roll a 9.
You are both unsuccessful and they slip on the uneasy stone, the old broken stone of this secret passage, and they fall.
Mm. That if they fall and then on the ground, or
they fall down into this. This is kind of a spiral staircase that leads to this secret passage, and it's all broken. And they fall several flights down, and tumble pretty good. They're going to take some damage.
Oh,
as a result of this,
I thought it was just like a small hop.
I was also under the assumption that it was a small hop.
No, it was a small hop that if you miss,
becomes means you flights fall of down spiral staircases.
Fall down this staircase, yeah. And they take some damage as they kind of tumble down, and they disappear behind a curve, and you lose sight of them.
Ooh.
I thought we could do that, and we didn't.
Navia, and I run.
Bo,
you run down. Cassian coming up behind you. You get to the bottom and you see that they've landed, and it's dark. It is very, very dark. It is so dark now that Nils, you can't see. Etheria, you can.
I cast light.
And when you cast light, Majumbo rolls over and he says, "Oh, I think I landed on something pointy." And he rolls over and he grabs whatever he landed on. Uh-oh. That was so uncomfortable. And he pulls a skeletal forearm.
It's
going to
be
forearm.
A fucking guy. Yeah, I knew it's going to be a human guy.
Oh. Or at least it wasn't a vine.
And the fingers start to move.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.